We are starting a new series. It's called It's a Wonderful Life. I thought it'd be kind of neat to do a sermon series that interacts with a movie. In this case, a classic movie. Now, I didn't get this idea myself. It actually came from a colleague of mine, Greg Osimacopoulos. He's spoken here a number of times, and he wrote a book, actually, looking at how many spiritual themes show up in the movie It's a Wonderful Life. We have a few copies out there if you're interested in that. One of the reasons I think this movie has caught on as being this classic is it just deals with these timeless kind of human experiences. And few things are more just gut-level human than trying to find meaning in the midst of suffering. And in the movie, George Bailey goes through a number of hard things in life. And the clip we're about to see is actually from very early in the movie and very early in his life. He is at a high school dance and he has just met the girl that he doesn't know this yet, but you know, with time, she's going to become his wife. And he has, in meeting her, he's kind of pulled her away from a jealous boyfriend. And so the jealous boyfriend seeks to work some revenge on him, and a few kind of funny things ensue. So I want you to watch this clip, and we'll get the lights down, and then we're going to talk a bit about it. And so one of the things that, just part of being human, is that there's going to be moments in life where it feels like the floor has opened up, and you've fallen in. Through nothing of your own doing, you didn't anticipate it, you were just going about your business, doing whatever you do, and then splash. And so one of the questions that every person asks at some point in their life, probably with issues a lot more serious than falling into a swimming pool unexpectedly, is the very honest question, so why do bad things happen? Or probably more personally, why do bad things happen to me? So I wanted us to talk about that and look at a few biblical passages that give some insight into that. One of the things the Bible doesn't do is it doesn't promise us that we're always going to know why things happen. But it does give us let me put it this way. When we go through those things, here's some of the things I've seen people asking. One of the things people will assume when something bad happens to them is they'll think, well, God must be angry with me. And so he must be punishing me for this. There must have been something I did that caused this. There must be some reason why I deserved this. I've also seen people say things like, well, God must not love me very much, or this wouldn't have happened. Another conclusion sometimes people reach, no particular order, is, well, God must not be in control. He must not ultimately be in control, or this would not have happened. Or the thing in the 20 years I've been in ministry, I've come across pretty frequently, and it's very honest, it's very human, and emotionally it makes sense, is people saying, well, if God was good or loving, then this thing that happened to me wouldn't have happened. But because it did happen, God must not be there at all. You ever asked those questions yourself? Ever known anybody who did? Now, this fourth one, it's totally understandable emotionally how that can feel true. Though if we take a couple of steps back, you go, wow, that actually doesn't make a lot of sense. It's a little bit like, not exactly like, but a little bit like saying, well, I was riding in a car and the car broke down and it didn't get me to where I thought it was going to get me to go. And I'm very disappointed in that car. So now I don't believe in cars anymore. Right? But that is where we land on a heart level. And we feel tremendous pain. So why do bad things happen? Now, the Bible does not tell us, or doesn't even promise us, that in every situation we're going to know why something happened. We don't get access to the control room of the universe. It does give us a few hints, and I want to look at a couple passages that sort of hint at some of the reasons why bad things do happen. First of all, you know, the Bible tells us that one of the reasons why bad things happen is because there is bad in me. And so one of the things that happen, reasons why things happen, is because of the natural consequences of my own sin and folly. Where sin would be where I know the right thing to do, but I don't do it. Or I do something that I know I'm not supposed to do, and it ends up hurting me, or it ends up hurting the people around me. Or folly would be, I just didn't know. I had no idea, but I did it, and it was ignorant, but I'm experiencing some of the natural consequences of that. The person who has too much to drink and they starts driving a car and their car, you know, drives into a ditch or hits a tree and now their car is totaled and really doesn't need to say to God, God, why did this happen? Well, some of that is because it's a natural consequence of your own folly, your own sin. One of the other reasons why the Bible tells us that sometimes bad things happen is natural consequences of other people's sin and folly. Like, look to the person next to you. Just scan them over a little bit. What if they are as messed up as you are? And folks, there are 7 billion of us on the planet right now. Do you think just corporately, between all of that brokenness, we might actually foul things up? Yeah, just maybe. And actually, the scriptures look at it from an even more cosmic perspective. It says that because of corporate sin, because all of us are broken on the inside, all of us are in some degree in a rebellion against God. We are out of sync with our Creator. Because of that, it actually affects all of the created world. Like in Romans chapter 8, verse 20, it says, for the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. It's a passage that points to how, because all of us have sinned, the whole world is catawonky. The whole world is, to a certain degree, broken. In the book of Romans 3:23, it says, the wages of sin is death. Because of our corporate sin, there is death, there is destruction, there is disease in the world, and things that were intended to be good are corrupted. They don't work as God had willed and planned and created the world to be. And so we experience the consequences of each other's sin. For some of you, your areas of greatest suffering were because of something that somebody else did to you, or because of the kind of corporate brokenness of the world. God did not intend for there to be disease in the world. God did not intend for there to be death in the world. But those things are natural consequences of sin. God did not intend for you to be assaulted, but the assault happened because of the sin and the brokenness in the world around you. So that's one of the other reasons why bad things happen. Because we live in a broken, fallen world as broken, fallen people. And sometimes God intervenes to protect us from our own sinfulness and protect us from our own folly. And sometimes God allows the natural consequences of those things to happen. And so there's disease. And so there are accidents. And so there are crimes. And so there is death. And none of that was what God intended in the beginning. It's us. It's us and our brokenness. And we all feel the pain from it. We all feel the hole in our heart as a result. Now, the third clue that God, through the scriptures, gives us to reasons why bad things happen, and this does not occur as frequently, but it's part of it, is that there are, the Bible teaches us, evil forces at work in the world. Like, for example, in the book of Job, a book I'd highly recommend you reading, especially if you're trying to make sense of suffering. It's a bit disturbing, but it can be helpful. Like in the book of Job, chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, there's a story where Satan and God are having a conversation. And picking it up in verse 9, Satan says to God, "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has?" Verse 11. "You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. Now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Very well then. Everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." And in that troubling story, God gave Satan permission to torment Job. And as the story goes on, some just absolutely atrocious things happened to his family and happened to him. And the part that I find so tragic about the book of Job is Job never sees it. Job never gets access. The curtain is, you know, the curtain of Oz never parts. He has no idea why this is happening. He just knows that he's hurting and everybody around him is hurting. Now, the fourth reason that sometimes bad things happen in the world is the Bible tells us at times God intervenes and God works acts of justice. Now, most of the time in the scriptures, when you hear of God's justice, it is actually more related to the natural consequences of sin. God chooses to remove his hand from a situation. He chooses to not intervene, and he allows the natural consequences of somebody's sin or folly to impact their life. But in some passages, like 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, just one out of a number, in this particular, as we pick up this passage, the Philistines, what kind of Israel's arch enemy, has stolen the Ark of the Covenant, and so now all these weird things are happening to the Philistines. So verse 6, "The Lord's hand was heavy on the people of Ashdod and its vicinity. He brought devastation on them and afflicted them with tumors." So it sounds like some sort of a contagious disease has spread. "When the people of Ashdod saw what was happening, they said, 'The ark of the God of Israel must not stay here with us, because his hand, God's hand, is heavy on us and on Dagon, our God.'" Now, in the story, it's kind of a quirky one, but, you know, they had the ark in the same room as these like idols, and the idols would break at night and they'd fall over and they didn't really know why this was happening. But that gives us a clue. Sometimes God is intervening in a situation. But here's the big thing. Here's the big thing. We don't know. Most of the time, we don't know when something bad is happening. Most of the time, we don't know. So I hope maybe some thoughts will be helpful. Here's one thing I hope that we would assume. And maybe this would be a good reminder for you if today is a day that you're going, you know, I'm just really suffering today. My family is suffering. My business is suffering. My health is suffering. And I'm suffering because of difficult decisions I'm making. Here's an assumption I hope you would make. That I may never know. I may never know what caused this bad thing to happen. In the book of Job, Job never knew. Sometimes we cannot sort through, was this something that is because of the things that I did? Is this because of what other people did? We don't know. Maybe sometimes it might be a mix of all those things. Sometimes we don't know whether or not this is some evil oppression in your life. We don't know. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I don't know." Now, you admitted not knowing something. Is that okay? Feel all right? The floor open up underneath you? And you know, when you're sitting with somebody in a time of suffering, And I got to freely admit that, I mean, I've been in ministry for 20 years, and most of the suffering of my life, if I'm being honest, has been secondhand. You know, sitting in the cardiac unit with someone that's just had a heart attack. Why did this happen to me? Sitting with a person right after they've got the phone call and the divorce papers have been served. Why is this happening? Sitting with a person after their business has just collapsed and I was trying so hard and I thought I was doing everything right. Why did this happen? And sometimes the only thing we can say, only honest thing we can say is, I'm so sorry it happened. And I don't know why. I don't know. Now, we're often tempted to try to come up with explanations there. Oh, God must have needed another angel in his choir. Please don't say that. Oh, God must have known that this would... Please don't say that. We don't know. In a lot of times of suffering, most of the time, we don't know. Why'd your baby miscarry? I don't know. Why was I assaulted? I don't know. And the most honest thing we can do is just to share in each other's suffering. I don't know. Second assumption I hope we would make is that because of the promises of Scripture, we can know that God loves me, God loves you, God loves us, no matter what I'm going through. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8. We'll put some of the verses up here. But this is a passage where, if you're a Bible memorizing kind, I hope you would memorize this verse. This is one of the most powerful and most abiding promises in Scripture. Verse 38. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. So what's that cover? Pretty much everything. Nothing. Nothing you can do, nothing you can think, nothing that can happen to you. No accident. No disease. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. If you hear nothing else this morning, please hear that verse. Do we know why bad things happen? Oftentimes, no. I don't know. What we do know is that no matter what happens, it does not separate us from the love of God. And because of that, in every situation, no matter how awful, in every situation, there is some measure of hope. In Romans 8:28, it says, we know that in all things, God works for the good. Now, this passage, I don't have it on the screen. I'm sorry for that. God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purposes. It's because nothing separates us from the love of God. And so an assumption we should make is that through God, somehow, something good can happen, even in suffering. Now, we got to make sure we don't just land on that right away. We probably don't want to say that to somebody when you're in the quiet room at the ER. But it's a truth that we can hold on to. Because of the abiding, unshakable love of God, there is no situation that is not have at least some element of it that is redeemable for good. Now, did God cause the accident? Probably not. I don't know. Did God cause the disease? Probably not. Did God will that? Probably not. I don't know. Can God use that? Yes. Does God love you? Yes. Is there the potential for something good to come out of this? Yes. And one of the ways the Bible tells us that good can come out of things is because God cares about your character. He cares about who you are on the inside. And the crazy thing, this part, this is sort of good news that sounds like bad news, okay? The good news that sounds like bad news is that one of the main ways that God forms character is through suffering. Through suffering. Romans 5, verses 1 through 4. And if you turn there, please. Therefore, scriptures say, since we have been justified through faith. In other words, we've been made right with God through faith. We have, what's the word? What's the word? We have peace with God. God has declared his peace with you because of Jesus. That makes God an ally and not an enemy. Now, sometimes in the hard situations of life, we can feel like, okay, God's my enemy. I've got to stay away from him. I've got to push him out. I've got to ignore him because he doesn't like me. He doesn't have a good plan for me. That can be how we honestly feel. But that's not what the Bible teaches. And it's not true. Through Jesus, we have peace with God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We have a status with God because of Jesus. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, we also, what's the word? Glory. Now that's a weird word. We glory in our sufferings. Let's wrap your head around that. We glory in sufferings. It doesn't mean that we go suffering. Yay for suffering. No. If you do, you need some medication. But what it does mean is that when we are suffering, you can say, you know what? This really hurts. This really stinks. This is really bad. But I know that God can use some part of this for good. And I'm going to look for that. We glory in our sufferings, the scriptures say, because we know that suffering produces, what's the word? Perseverance. Perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. In any good story, you know, think of maybe your favorite novel. Chances are the lead character in that story, it wasn't something like, and Johnny was raised in a perfect family, he never had any financial troubles, never had any relational troubles, and he lived happily ever after the end. You'd be like, well, that's a dumb story. Or you think of the people that you really admire in any field of life. So if you're a business person, you think of the business people, you go, wow, I really would like to learn from them. You think of the doctors that if you're in medicine, you go, that's a doctor I really aspire to. As I think in my world, you know, what are pastors that I want to be like? It wasn't because everything in their life went rosy. It's because they found endurance through difficult decisions and difficult situations. The spiritual leaders I tuned to for advice, it's not because I went to ministry and everybody was always happy all the time. There were no doctrinal problems. My church just kept growing. I'd be like, well, either you're a fluke or you're a fake, because that's just not how life generally works. But the people whose advice I want to hear is well, here's what it was like to pastor a church, and there were divisions in the church, and there were difficulties, and there were discipline issues, and there were doctrinal issues, and we made really hard decisions, and we didn't know the right thing to do, but we trusted the Lord, and we kept going, and God has worked through us. Now that's the person I want to take out for coffee. If you're a parent, the people whose parenting you probably respect the most isn't because, oh yeah, we had perfect kids and everything is awesome. Because I'm not even sure that person exists. But you want to sit down with somebody who's got good advice would say, well, here's what we faced. In our first service, it was so cool. It was just sort of a spontaneous thing. A woman stood up because it was their 52nd wedding anniversary. So Ray and Barbara McCardle, congratulations, guys, if you're listening to the podcast right now. And thanks for standing up. And she just said, you know, we went through 52 years of marriage, and a lot of it wasn't easy, but we endured. Now, that's the person you want to sit down and spend some time with, isn't it? God cares about your character. And the good news that sounds like bad news is oftentimes he forges character through suffering. And what I hope we might do this morning is this maybe could help to reframe whatever area of suffering you're going through right now. I mean, is the greatest stress in your life, is it medical? Is it a decision at work? Is it a relationship issue? And could it be that just maybe God is... And it doesn't mean for a second that it was all good. It doesn't mean for a second that God, like, willed it or caused it. I don't know. But could it be that maybe God can yet work something good from it? There is no better person to counsel somebody who is going through divorce than someone who has been through divorce. That doesn't make divorce a good thing. But it means that God can take a bad situation and bring something good from it. There is no better person to counsel the person who has lost a child than somebody else who has lost a child. That doesn't for a second make it good. But it does make it redeemable. And so I want to... And no, the thing in this clip I like the most, and I saw some of you pointing this out. I mean, you're so smart, you caught it right away. So the floor opens up. And George and Mary, they have no idea. They just fall backwards into the pool. And the prankster was thinking that this would ruin the night. And in fact, what it did is it made it. And the thing that made the difference was because George Bailey kept on dancing. And so as we try to apply this to our life, just like to try this phrase on for size. I will keep dancing because I know that God is able to bring something good out of this. Can we just maybe say that together? Even if you're not sure if you believe that yet, just try it on for size and just see if this might be words that you could express. In this awful situation, I will keep dancing because I know that God is able to bring something good out of this. Now, some of you, you're finding some conviction when you said that. So let's try one more time. I will keep dancing because I know that God is able to bring something good out of this. So as we close, I want us just to give us an opportunity to pray for each other. And if you are going through something where you're tempted to stop dancing, you're going through a tough situation of some sort, and you'd like somebody to pray for you, what I'm going to ask you, let me just tell you the whole thing so you know you don't freak out, because we're not going to put anybody on the spot. That's not how we roll, okay? But if you would like to receive prayer about that, we're not going to ask you even what it is unless you want to tell somebody, but nobody's going to ask you nothing. But if you just like somebody, a brother or sister, to pray for you, like you to put up your hand, and then when you do, somebody around you is going to put their hand on your shoulder, and we're going to pray for each other. Because we can comfort each other in our suffering. We don't need to know the reason why. We don't need to know all the details, because God knows plenty. And we can know that somehow, though we might never see it, God can bring something good out of this. Who'd like to receive some prayer like that today? Okay. So you see some hands going up. So if that person is next to you, put their hand on their shoulder. If that person's in front of you, put the hand on your shoulder. You can even crane your necks around and go, that person's behind you, put your hand on their shoulder. And we're going to pray for each other. Oh God, thank you that we can build each other up in times of sorrow and suffering. Lord, please give us the humility of heart to not try to come up with cheap explanations for things that are very often too lofty for us to understand. But Lord, help us to hold tight to your promise that there is nothing that can separate us from your love. And because of that, there is nothing for which there cannot be something good that comes out of it. Lord, we pray for our sisters and brothers. Sometimes in those dark tunnels, it is so hard to see you, so hard to feel you, so hard to know that you're there, or even that you care or that you're good. And so in those times, Lord, help us to carry each other. Help us to cling to your promise. And thank you that we can. Lord, help us keep dancing. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.